It is the 16th day of August 2013, a Friday afternoon. Always we talk with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd. Hey, I was able to get ready to go golfing finally because I got my snake bite kit from Amazon.com.
Fine.
By the time we get done talking, everybody will think I live out in the Wild West.
Well, what is it like out there? I got to know. How do you like it?
Oh, it's very pleasant. It's a little bit more humid. It's a little bit more more warmth during the sunlight during the days. It gets hotter out here, that's for sure. I think we're probably pretty close to the same east-west as maybe Marshall or Terre Haute or something like that, you know, somewhere around there. As far as Terre Haute, Indiana, or Marshall, Illinois, it's kind of the same climate, I think, more similar than up in Lafayette was.
Yeah, you should have moved it to Nebraska. It's hot, but it's a dry heat. Hot, but a dry heat. Actually, they're suffering pretty good out there still. What's the crops look like? Have you been out and about again?
I have not been out for about a week. We had more rain this week, and it came in the evenings, and it was very welcome. And so I think it really helped the beans quite a bit. I'm not sure about the corn because, like I said, I haven't really been out in it. But the beans visibly look better just past my house. And there's not as many cornfields around me that I can get to, but probably go out this weekend and take a look at it. But it was interesting because I was talking to Dave earlier today about tip back in Illinois, and then, one of our colleagues sent me a YouTube video from Macon about some tip back, and it sounds like that's starting to hit some of the areas not far from Muhammad and your area that hasn't seen a lot of rain since July, so kind of similar to what we experienced out here in eastern Kansas.
Yeah, I have to admit, on my at Commodity Week feed, for Twitter, I dropped in a nice picture of some really good ears as I was going to the state fair last week, but I had to turn those. It was tipped back, but only on one side. It was a little odd, and all three of them were that way. They were nice ears, though.
Yeah, they're still a good crop. It's just not maybe what it could have been two weeks ago.
Yeah, but I just wanted to say it was a blue ribbon crop. That's and I didn't think it would move the marketplace. I was pretty sure that was the case.
Well, it may have if it was bearish.
No, oh, don't, man. You're going to get me in trouble. Okay, let's do something that's better than that for the farmers. How about that? Did you see the FSA stuff this week? They started coming out with some numbers on prevent plant, and I saw numbers earlier in the week, and what I saw didn't quite jive in my mind that they added up correctly. I think 3.411 was the total number of acres, but what I didn't get, that was 3.411 million acres for corn on prevent plant, then something like 1.9 for soybeans and 1.7 for wheat.
Right.
There was a map that I saw came in from Wayne Nelson, sent me one just before we went on the air. I forwarded that to you. It came from the FSA, I believe, but he got it from Iowa Farm Bureau. I haven't been able to track down the source, but it looks to me like the prevent plant acres, whether it's corn or beans, probably both, but just the primaries are really up in the heart of corn-growing country along the Iowa-Minnesota border. There are about six counties up there that have more than 20% prevent plant in land area. That would seem like an awful lot to me.
Yeah, I think that probably corresponds with some of the aerial footage that was broadcast on AgWeb, I think it was, a week ago. And I think that's where the Pro Farmer Tour will hopefully shed some light on this. I don't know if it can completely do it because it's all on the ground, but maybe it will be able to shed some light on it. I think from where I sit and looking at just the numbers, when July USDA planted acres for corn went up 100,000 acres, and then they took the harvested acres down, I believe, 400,000 from 89.5 to 89.1.
Right.
And I think some are thinking that part of that is due to prevent plant. But I think methodology-wise, I struggle with that because I would think prevent plant would mean less planted acres, not less harvested acres, because they took prevent plant and are saying this stuff's going to stay fallow. So I think the methodology would say you can't count that 400,000 harvested less. And even if you would, I think, you know, if you took 60% or 50% of the FSA number of 3.4 million, I still think you're talking about 1.5 million to 2 million acres that are probably harvested acres that are on the table as far as being taken out of the supply-demand table. That's how I see it at this point. And I would also say this week's report, where they did take down harvested acres for soybeans, thought that made sense from a standpoint of the, you know, refiguring of the survey. But how can you take down harvested acres for soybeans, but not do anything with corn? Because if you didn't get the beans in, then certainly you probably didn't get the corn in either. So I still think there's as many questions as there are answers at this stage of the game.
Yeah, and maybe I can pick your brain about these acres to begin with, because let's see, I'm trying to think when they did this, but they did drop, as you already mentioned, by about 400,000 acres corn once. Didn't they do it earlier in the year, too, before we would have been to the prevent plant dates?
I don't see anything, you know, because May was our first number,
right,
after the baseline report, and I didn't see anything.
May and then June and then July, so if they did it, they would have had to do it in June, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well,
yeah.
we can go back and look. Hey, about those acres up there in Iowa, I guess we'll get a firsthand look at them when we go up a bit later on the program. We're going to ask him about it, too. Ben Pruce from the Andersons at Everly, Iowa, will be in our Cash Crane segment, but we're going to head up there on the 4th and the 5th.
Yeah, that'll be very exciting. I think that's one of the things that I'm most looking forward to. The Farm Progress Show is another one. I think by the time we get done with that trip, I think the trade will, I think by that time, Todd, because you'll know what the last 10 days of August did as far as weather, I think there'll be a lot more people singing off the same music sheet and same hymnal at that point. So I think the next 2 weeks the market will come together and come to some conclusion. But I mean, like I said to Dave this morning, and I hate to repeat it, but I think it's worth saying, I really do think for both the corn and bean futures market, we're in kind of a 2009 tunnel vision. Buy the beans because we're not sure the crop is made. Sell the corn on the spread because we feel like the crop is made, especially with that turn in the weather back in June.
Yeah, I've got one more question on the corn. Is it possible that at this point, and maybe December corn, maybe not, that the little rally we had this week, you know, was just based, it was based some on what we might see in new crop, but mostly on the idea that end users simply still don't have everything met all the way through September?
Yeah, and I think that's where the spread has a lot of work to do. You know, when we see the basis jump as much as it did this week, and we got two different USDA agencies giving us a fundamentally friendly look anyway, you didn't have to say it was a flat-out bearish report in corn for either two of those reports. I think you do have a tendency in this market now to have to gravitate back to the cash. Why? Because the September is coming into delivery, and I think between that, the weather in the next 10 days, and the crop conditions are going to still play a major role because, after all, we're only 5% dented right now in corn as of this Monday's weekly report. So the USDA is still going to have to rely upon crop conditions and satellite data pretty substantially in September.
I guess really there were three USDA agencies that gave a friendly look at the corn market, World Ag Outlook Board, NASS, and FSA. If they're all agreeing, that might be a bad deal.
Well, and that's true. And, you know, the other thing that I saw today that really didn't have any impact in the market materially at all, I don't think, was the idea that the rains in India were so bad about a month ago and up until the last 3 weeks that we knew they probably hurt some of their oilseed crop. But now they're talking about 40% of their exports not going out the door because of quality and just lost crop. And, you know, you start talking about that with India. India is a lot like the Black Sea where it comes to, you know, it's a pretty bearish factor if they have good crops and can throw, you know, crop and supply onto the world market.
Anything for the livestock producer today?
Well, the big news, I think, today was that the Merck is going to shut, the, not the Merck, Merck drug maker is going to shut down the usage of Zilmax and selling of Zilmax. And so I think we still have an unfinished book, so to speak, when it comes to the livestock market next week, because I would think the weights would have to be discounted at this stage.
I need some clarification, because every time you and I have talked about this, it seemed to me that they would simply, that Tyson and such, those feeders would stop using it so they would not gain weight as quickly in the end and they would have to have more corn to finish out. But somewhere along the lines, I got the idea that they would not buy feeder cattle to finish out that were fed with this, but I don't think that's right.
Yeah, my understanding, and this could be wrong, but my understanding from some of the cattle clients I work with is it's really not used until the last 60 days
right.
In the feed ration. So I'm not sure, you know, maybe that's where the rub is.
I think that's it, that it's really the way we had it to begin with, that it's they're going to need more feed to finish out on with corn, because they're not going to have this to help gain weight at the end. But I did see a story somewhere along the line that was the other way around. It was confusing, but I think we've got it right and had it right the whole time. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet. Have a great weekend, sir.
Hey, you too. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, and he's in Lafayette, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Of course, you can hear it again if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org.